I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to The Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of Meridian Health and Wellness, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare. Well, today we're going to talk about the common problems of the wrist and the elbow, and we see a lot of those, don't we?
We have an awful lot of problems. It's a very common issue. Mm-hmm. Especially with all the computer work that everybody's doing nowadays.
Right.
That's creating a lot more of it than it used to be.
Mm-hmm. A lot more sitting, a lot more working at the keyboard is
sure.
Affecting that.
Yeah, I sit there and had a patient who kept coming back into it, and I says, you know, what are you doing? And she said, well, it might be that 12 hours I just put in on the computer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I have a group that I meet with once a week, and we discuss health issues. And one thing that was brought up, there's been some research done that sitting 3 hours nonstop is like smoking a cigarette. It has the same effect on you. And it's interesting.
Yeah, cutting down on the oxygenation and the breathing and all that.
Uh-huh. That's just 3 hours.
3 hours.
And some people just, you know, sit straight 8 hours. At their computers.
We were kind of made to move, weren't we?
We are made to move, and the more we keep moving, the healthier we're going to be. Well, what are, Dr. Prather, some of the common problems of the wrist and the elbow?
Well, some of the things that are most common with that are medial epicondylitis, lateral epicondylitis, cubital tunnel, carpal tunnel, and then some of the arthritises and bursitises.
So what is medial epicondylitis? Condylitis.
Say that quickly five times,
please. You were having a hard time, too.
Yes, I was. I was. That's a mouthful. Well, when you're talking about medial epicondylitis, is basically what you're talking about is the pains on the inside of your elbow. So if you're holding out your hand with the palm up, straight out, it's the area of the elbow that would be closest to you.
Mm-hmm. That's where a medial comes in, right?
That's where the medial comes in. And usually that's the muscles that have to do with bringing the wrist up towards you.
Okay.
So those would be the muscles that would actually be a problem.
More of the flexion.
More of the flexion type pattern. And that has to do with a common thing that they call it is golfer's elbow.
Okay.
Because as you strike with the front part of your forearm with your hand, mm-hmm. then you can actually cause some stress in those tendons and muscles. And cause some problems along those lines.
And we see some golfers.
And we see some golfers. That would also be if you're a tennis player, mm-hmm. if you're doing the overhand shot, mm-hmm. you know, doing the serve, then you can actually cause some injury along those lines.
Is that where tennis elbow comes from?
No, actually, tennis elbow is actually the mainly the lateral epicondylitis.
Okay.
Because those are the muscles that you have when you strike. Those would be the ones that would actually have some problems along those lines. But the medial epicondylitis is golfers, pitchers, mm-hmm. Oftentimes will get that problem too. But it's basically a lot of the areas that can give you some problems along those areas is you're usually interfering and causing some problems with the ulnar nerve, also with the median nerve. And then the tendons and the muscles that are associated with that.
So how do you get medial epicondylitis?
Of course, you know, there's the golf, there's mm-hmm. The overhand tennis, there's the baseball. A javelin thrower mm-hmm. is oftentimes will get that. Also, it is something that you can get with certain types of postures. When you're doing keyboarding, mm-hmm. Obviously that can actually occur. Along with that, it can also be from chainsaws,
mm-hmm.
Other different type of equipment.
That have some vibration.
Those types of things are the most common ways of getting it. But we even have people who don't do those types of things that can actually develop that.
Mm-hmm. It's like a repetitive use.
Repetitive use tension. is a very common type of problem. Having your elbow, I have people who wake up with it, and they sleep in a common type of position where they kind of have their arm tucked underneath them with their hand up and sleep on it for a long period of time. All of a sudden come in and say, "Oh, my elbow's killing me. I just woke up with it." And it was just purely how they slept.
Interesting. So what is lateral epicondylitis?
Lateral epicondylitis is, again, if you're holding out your palm facing up, it's the muscles, the area on the outside. Okay. That's why they call it lateral.
Lateral. We got a little anatomy.
And the most common muscle, the most common tendons involved with that is the supinator muscle out there. And that's the one that actually helps you to rotate.
Your forearm.
Your forearm. It's a very easy muscle to injure, and it's one of the ones that is very, very painful because the radial nerve actually goes right through it. So usually when you're talking about the lateral epicondylitis, it's, again, the group of muscles that are on the outside of the elbow, and the nerve that seems to be mainly involved with that is the radial nerve.
So interesting, this lateral epicondylitis is the radial nerves involved, where the medial...
And the ulnar.
For the medial epicondylitis.
Medial epicondylitis.
Yeah. And that's what causes a lot of the tingling.
Yes, you can get a lot of tingling, you can get some pain, you can get some weakness, some inflammation actually right in the elbow itself. And the muscles going down into the forearm can be a real problem. So, you know, each of those can be a big issue. The tennis, of course, is really the biggest thing that can really irritate that
But we see a lot of people that, you know, don't do tennis or don't do...
Absolutely.
Don't golf with these issues.
And again, anything that you've got your, you know, you should be having... Most of the time, as you're doing some type of an activity, having the elbow bent actually protects it. If you have your elbow straight out and you're doing it, you know, lifting or painting is a very common type of issue where they're going up and down like this with a roller. I have a lot of people who decided to paint their living room and come in and say, "Oh, I can't do this anymore because my elbow's hurting so badly." And a lot of it was poor mechanics. Poor body mechanics is really what causes a lot of that whole problem.
All these common wrist and elbow problems.
Absolutely.
The repetitive motion.
Sure.
You know, even working at their desk and at the computer.
One of the more common on the medial epicondylitis is the palmaris longus muscle. That can actually cause a spasms in through the palmar aponeurosis, where you get the pulling of the fingers forward with the what they call Dupuytren's contracture. But that's actually involved with the palmaris longus muscle. So each one has more of their common ones that you look for, but any of those muscles that are in the forearm can actually be involved.
And I know people come in and they think they're having carpal tunnel problems. And a lot of times you find it's the palmaris longus and coming more from the elbow.
Coming from the elbow, yeah.
And because they're thinking it's coming from the wrist. That's interesting.
Interestingly enough, they did a study on surgeries for the for carpal tunnel. And they found that 40% of the time it wasn't truly carpal tunnel. It was actually palmaris longus syndrome. And the results for the surgery is actually very poor in those situations.
That was 40% of carpal tunnel.
40% of the surgeries that were done in that study was actually diagnosed wrong.
Now, let's talk about cubital tunnel syndrome. That's another common problem for the elbow.
Yes. That is the ulnar nerve, and the ulnar nerve actually goes through a tunnel that they call the cubital. And if you get a compression in there, then that can be a very painful situation and something that can cause a huge amount of problem for people. So looking for the cubital tunnel syndrome, it's actually pretty easy to diagnose. You just go in there and find the ulnar nerve, trace it, and you can find right where that tunnel is and press down on it. And the person will either try to hit you or jump away. And that's a pretty good sign that you've got a cubital tunnel.
Real easy. You just go in there and find that ulnar nerve. Right. And then carpal tunnel syndrome.
True carpal tunnel syndrome is where you get a collapse of the wrist bones. There's actually a movement of laxity. The wrist bones actually will shift and then press down on the medial nerve.
Mm-hmm.
So true carpal tunnel is actually right in the wrist itself. It's not really coming from the elbow, but right in the wrist. And getting those movements in there, you've got 8 bones in the in the wrist, and
you got 8 bones. That's a lot of bones.
8 bones in the wrist. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you get certain ones shift in a certain way, usually from some weakness in through the wrist, then you're going to get that pressure down on that median nerve, and very, very uncomfortable.
Do you find a lot of times, you said weakness in the wrist causes carpal tunnel syndrome?
Yes.
The wrist isn't strong enough?
Yeah, and of course, one of the big things on each of these different types of areas, there's usually an imbalance in the muscles that kicks it off, improper tonicity of the muscles, mm-hmm. where they become too tight or too lax. Strengthening a good functioning wrist and elbow, you're not going to have problems with.
Mm-hmm. And there we go back to homeostasis or balance, right?
Absolutely.
And everything.
In everything.
Okay, when we come back, let's talk about the treatments of these conditions of the wrist and the elbow. You can win a free 60-minute massage in our relaxing spa at Meridian Health and Wellness. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of Meridian Health and Wellness. Dr. Prather, you talk a lot about structure function care and disease care. What is the difference between the two?
When you're talking about disease care, you're usually talking about an interference in the body's normal mechanisms. There is a time for that. When the body is actually in a process of free fall, is a good way to kind of put it, where the body is no longer making sense of what it's doing. And we're on a pattern that it will actually crash. Then you need some interference. And the best way to actually do that is through pharmaceuticals. Pharmaceuticals are classified as poisons. They actually take the body further away from homeostasis, which I'll define here in a second.
Mm-hmm.
But at those times, that is actually necessary. So when the body is in a crisis and is no longer able to heal itself, that's when disease care is actually critical. That's where you actually utilize the pharmaceuticals and the surgical methods. What we're usually involved with is in structure function. And as opposed to a disease care, it's health care. Everything that you use in a structure function standpoint is something to bring the body back into homeostasis, which is balance.
Okay.
Dr. Guyton talked about homeostasis as the definition of health. If the body can maintain homeostasis, where it's in a perfect balance with all the different types of things that are coming in that are interfering with its function, that is the perfect state of health. And that's based on a balance of the physiology functional, and upon the structure portion of the structure function.
Well, you talk about the body as the hero. What do you mean by that?
Body has a self-healing mechanism to it that can just make all sorts of corrections if we can just get out of its way. The whole idea behind healthcare is to provide the impetus, the needs, and the basis of what it will take to actually get the body well. Finding out where it's off, doing the proper diagnostics, and then making the proper type of adjustments into the care will actually result in the healing and the position that the body should actually be in.
Well, find out how structured function care can impact your life by scheduling an appointment at Meridian Health and Wellness, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Meridian Health and Wellness, restoring hope.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of Meridian Health and Wellness, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest. Well, let's talk, Dr. Prather, about the treatments for these conditions. Today we're talking about, you know, the common problems of the wrist and the elbow. We talked about medial and lateral epicondylitis, things like tennis elbow and the nerves involved with that. We talked about cubital tunnel syndrome and the ulnar nerve being involved with that, and carpal tunnel syndrome. Yes. With the wrist. And a lot of times are misdiagnosed. Carpal tunnel is more, you said, a pulmaris longus, which is a muscle that mm-hmm. goes into spasm, correct?
Yes, and it can, the tendon goes right across the area of the median nerve down in the wrist. And so even as you do most of the common diagnostics, you're going to get the positives for carpal tunnel. So mm-hmm. it's really stepping up your game and getting in there and really feeling is how you can differentiate the two and having the sensitivity, the examination. And what I do is I trace the palmaris longus muscle, and if that's involved in it, it's very obvious to the doctor and to the patient because it really hurts really yeah. bad.
Well, I've seen you there where your patient says, I think I have carpal tunnel, and you trace that palmaris longus. To its origin, you know, right near
right.
the elbow
right.
and the medial right. side, and they're all, oh, you know,
sure.
that's where it is.
And
it,
whereas I'm checking the, because I check the wrist bones, and in true carpal tunnel, you can feel the laxity
mm-hmm.
And the movement in the wrist bones, and in the palmaris longus. Muscle syndrome, if that's actually the origination of it, those wrist bones are fine.
Okay.
So, you know, just relying on nerve conduction study tests, on some of the more common types of tests for the carpal tunnel, all will show positive. And then they'll go ahead and do the surgery, and then the surgery is a failure. I mean, I can think of in the last 2 years, about 10 patients who had surgeries for the carpal tunnel and said it wasn't successful.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the doctor says, well, I don't understand, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, well, you know, this is the reason why we corrected the palmaris longus muscle and all the symptoms went away, whereas the surgery was not successful.
Interesting. So how do you treat these wrist and elbow conditions?
Well, we approach this from a different standpoint than the medical profession.
Mm-hmm.
The medical profession is disease-oriented, so, you know, they're going to go in there and there's inflammation, they'll use a anti-inflammatory, you know, either shots mm-hmm. or corticosteroids or anti-inflammatories that they'll be taking or surgery. We, as a structure function officer, are looking more at the homeostasis.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're talking about homeostasis, we're talking about the alignment of the structure. So one of the first things we do is the skeletal structure in line?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and actually going in there and doing some chiropractic adjustments on the elbows, on the wrists to get things lined up can make an immediate difference. If you do have a shift in the skeletal structure, even though you might be doing some of the other different types of treatments that can even be temporarily successful, the underlying problem's still there, where there's a misalignment of either the ulnar or the ulnar bone
mm-hmm.
or any of the eight bones in the wrist. And they will continue to cause irritation later on. So it will be something that will be completely reoccurring. Whereas if you can get things lined up, then you really get some excellent, excellent changes in the long-term type of condition. And people can feel, also, what's interesting is you get quicker results with that than you do medically, too.
You're talking about?
Immediate results.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, so we can do an adjustment on the radial bone if they have lateral epicondylitis. And, you know, it's the pain relief is instantaneous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so it's very nice. I had a gentleman who does a construction work, and he has great big huge forearms, a great big huge strong hand, upper body strength that's quite amazing, but he has extremely weak wrists.
Mm-hmm.
So the wrists bones, you know, the eight bones in his wrist go out of place quite a bit. And so what we do is we adjust those and put them back into place immediately. And, you know, he's just shocked at how well that works.
Uh-huh.
You know,
and
it's,
quickly.
It's
yeah.
just immediately. So the adjustments of the skeletal structure is a huge, huge benefit. And you can tell some immediate changes with those types of adjustments.
Well, you say, you know, the wrist has eight bones, you know, in it.
Yes.
And, you know, that's a lot of bones in right. one area.
And I take people's wrists and I move it around and do different types of motions on it. Mm-hmm. And when I find that bone that's, you know, loose in there, it's not in its proper position, and move it back and forth, you can hear it go clunk, 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 clunk. The person can feel it.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, ooh, stop that. That doesn't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, now just hang on. And we do a quick adjustment on it. A lot of times you can hear it, you know, mm-hmm. snap back into place. And then we move it again, and then there's none of that. And the person goes, oh, that's fixed.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're like, wow, that's almost like magic. And it's not. It's just, you know, biomechanics and just homeostasis.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we call ourselves a structure function office, is because we deal with the structure of the body, because the structure has a lot to do with the function, and then the function has a lot to do with the structure.
Mm-hmm.
So
makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
The other thing, of course, is you have the whole system in through there, and you know, one of the things that is a big problem is the inflammation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know.
Yeah, and how do you treat the inflammation?
Well, one of the easiest ways and gentlest ways to do that is acupuncture.
Mm-hmm.
Acupuncture is basically what we use to take the inflammatory condition of the body, and you can get some immediate changes on that. I can have someone who has even a recent injury to their elbow. We had a young soccer player who had fallen and injured her elbow, and it was all swollen up, and they brought her in here, and we popped the acupuncture needles in there, and I had the mom
we
and the
placed
dad.
The acupuncture
I placed the acupuncture needles and the nice thing about, you know, and people sit there and say, ooh, needles and all that type of thing.
Yeah.
The acupuncture needles are as thin as a hair, and they're rounded on the end.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't really even feel them going in.
We're changing the name to filaments, didn't we?
Filaments.
Decide?
Yes. Exactly, because that's a better description.
But I interrupted your story. I'm
oh, no, no. I love your interruptions. you always add very fresh and exciting types of things
Thank
to it.
Thank you.
And you can actually see the inflammation go down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as in, you know, in the back, in the arms, in the wrists, you can actually see the changes, and it actually goes quicker than any other means of treatment.
Well, and I want our listeners to know that you, Dr. Prather, have been voted in the A1 the best acupuncturist in the city by the people. And so just want to congratulate you for that.
Oh,
we haven't
you.
Really announced that, but and I see it all the time, you know, with the acupuncture. And what we charge for the acupuncture is very, very reasonable.
Sure.
For the results that we get.
So we can put the needles in and get immediate changes in the inflammation through there.
Mm-hmm.
So we can see, you know, the inflammation going down immediately, and it's just a very rewarding type of a.
And there's no side effects.
No side effects, no danger, because you're not even putting in the needles very far. It's just barely, mm-hmm. you know, penetrating the skin, so it'll stay up. You don't even really get bleeding from it. So mm-hmm. it's a very, very easy type of thing. And I've had a lot, I mean, you know, 12-year-old girls aren't the easiest ones to stick needles in, but, you know, after I do it, they're like, oh, wow, that's...
Uh-huh. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, of course, they always want the selfie taken with the needles, you know, to show it to their friends. That's something that's uh-huh. always that they
do. They have to do a selfie.
Oh, absolutely. You know, just kind of show the elbow and, uh-huh. you know, kind of get that reaction. And then they can always say, oh, I didn't even notice it. You know, be real tough.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they just need to change the name of needles to filaments.
We'll filaments. That is because... That is much more of what it does. And, you know, placing them in the proper position is very important, knowing exactly how to get those changes and mm-hmm. and excellent results.
Well, isn't it interesting, too? Do you see, you know, do people over 50 do selfies? Not really.
No, they don't really.
Because that double chin,
that.
You have to be in the right position.
Yeah, the 12-year-old girls, it's pretty well guaranteed. Going to get a selfie with any type of acupuncture.
And hopefully I didn't offend anybody out there over 50 that does selfies.
Yeah.
But you won't catch me doing a selfie. The only time I do it is because can't figure out my phone and all of a sudden I'm on the FaceTime and I didn't know how that happened. Or all right, well, let's talk more about treatment. Trigger point therapy. That's something we do here.
The homeostasis of the body is very important. Acupuncture needles we use to take down the inflammation to help to balance out how the body's working. But one of the things is you can have very, very tight muscles in through anywhere in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And when they go into a chronic spasm, basically it squeezes all the blood out. And if you actually do, and it creates what's called trigger points.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we do is we actually, there's several different ways that we can do trigger point therapy. One, you can do it by hand where you press in. You can also do a spray and stretch mm-hmm. Where we use a fluoromethane and with a certain types of stretching of those muscles and then we spray it out. And then also we do saline solutions with some lidocaine in it. Right into the muscle and the trigger points and get those to relax. And those are in the more severe conditions
mm-hmm.
where there's just a chronic spasm in there. So, you know, again, we're talking about homeostasis, and if the muscles are out of balance, then you have to get those balanced out. And if there are continual contraction,
mm-hmm.
Getting those release will oftentimes involve trigger point therapy, getting that contraction to release so that you can have normal function again.
Yeah, and we also have an instrument we use called the rapid release.
Oh, that is.
Yeah,
that,
we use it after trigger point injection or, you know, sometimes we just use it right on the muscle spasm.
Sure, and then also we do some kinesio taping along mm-hmm. with that as another way. So there are many different ways to work with the trigger points to get those to relax and balanced. Very effective.
Right, and when we come back, let's talk about the role nutrition plays with wrist and elbow problems. Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet through the TuneIn Radio and Stitcher apps. The TuneIn Radio app allows you to listen to live or to recent episodes, plus gives you access to all of your favorite radio stations. The Stitcher app features on-demand podcasts of the best in talk radio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Laughter is the best medicine.
I want to have one no-carb diet. A Girl Scout came to the door. She had cookies. I said, oh, I think you're going to win the trip to Washington this year. This will be fine for now. Go back and get the rest of the troop.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of Meridian Health and Wellness, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
Well, Dr. Prather, today we're talking about common problems of the wrist and elbow, just in case you didn't know that we're talking about. Okay. It sounded like I was telling you what we're talking about, but...
I'll take it.
And a lot of wrist and elbow problems are under the repetitive strain injuries. They call them RSIs, correct?
Correct.
You know, from computer use or desk work, we see a lot of it. Sports, we talked about golfing and tennis elbow.
Yeah, baseball. Painting. That's where I get a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, people haven't painted, you know, except maybe once every 10 years. And
they're feeling great, and they...
Yeah, they go after
full room.
Full room, and it's like, I can't use my elbows anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right. And also, you got three nerves going through there. You got the medial, radial, and ulnar nerve. And, you know, when people say, I hit my funny bone...
Right,
that's the cubital ulnar. Tunnel right. syndrome,
Absolutely.
Right? That's the ulnar nerve that they've hit. So.
Absolutely. And if you get that on a continual basis, it's pretty annoying.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've been talking about, last segment, we talked about the treatment. We talked about adjustment or chiropractic adjustment. There's eight bones in the wrist, and you got the ulnar radius in that forearm area that rotate.
Absolutely.
You got the humerus that they all have to work together.
Sure.
We talked about acupuncture and how that helps with inflammation, and then trigger point therapy for chronic spasm or those trigger points. What other modalities, Dr. Prather, do you have that help these conditions?
Well, we also have ultrasound, diathermy. We have electrical stims, about five different kinds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have liniments that we use. That are very, very helpful.
And what are liniments?
Liniments are topical.
Mm-hmm.
Things that we can use on that. We have a lot of herbal liniments. We do have medicinal liniments also.
One's called dragon blood.
Yeah, dragon's blood, yeah. Yeah,
sounds,
you like that.
I do.
Everybody thinks that, all the guys, you know, you get a 12-year-old boy in here and you say, we're going to put dragon's blood on, on your elbow, and it's like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. They like that.
So, and those can have a very wonderful effect. Also, you can drive it in a little bit better using some electrical stim or ultrasound on there. Diathermy is a deep heating where you can use that quite a bit for different types of problems that are associated with that. And all those can really be extremely helpful in getting the body balanced out.
And everybody's different what helps them.
Yes.
You know, I mean... The alignment's very important, getting the inflammation down. But we have a lot of different modalities that might help someone and might not help another person. You know, so we can always find something that helps.
Sure, sure. So not only can you put things on the outside, you know, for rubbing it on, but also taking internal things.
Mm.
Not just pharmaceuticals can be helpful along those lines. There are different products that you can use. Arnica is excellent for using on the outside and also homeopathically taking it internally.
Yeah, we keep Arnica in our medicine cabinet. And
sure.
That's spelled A-R-N-I-C-A, correct?
Correct.
Arnica.
There are a whole host of different types of products. And one of the interesting things that we have is we have had patients who came in with carpal tunnel syndrome, really couldn't find a physical cause, and we gave them B6, which is what's actually called the nerve vitamin, and cleared up their carpal tunnel symptoms.
And that was B6.
B6. So B vitamins can be an important part of nutritional minerals, giving magnesium, calcium, getting the minerals all balanced out can play a very huge role on the integrity of the nervous system. Different types of minerals and nutritionals can be helpful for strengthening tendons and ligaments. Can have a very, very big effect on the overall health of the of the wrist and elbows.
Interesting.
So manganese was a very common deficiency. We have people who have chronic weakness in their tendons and ligaments, and we oftentimes can find that manganese or copper, you know, if they're low on copper, can also have a huge effect on the tensile strength and keep those injuries from reoccurring.
And that's real important for kids that are growing.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Finding out what type of nutritional deficiencies that could be contributing to either the nerves themselves or to the tendons and ligaments and the muscles and their function can play a very huge role on this.
Now, I know we are doing vitamin B injections, correct?
Correct.
And would that also be helpful?
That can be extremely helpful. We have an older lady who was having muscle pains all over, including in the arms, and did some B12 injections and saw an immediate change. So, you know, finding out exactly what the body needs, evaluating that, and getting the homeostasis where it needs to be results in the resolution of these issues.
Okay. Well, let's talk other treatments. We just talked about nutrition, but also exercise.
Well, you know what? We have an expert here.
Okay.
In exercise and rehab, and let me introduce her, Lisa Prather. Can you say hi?
That would be me.
And you run our rehab department.
I do.
So I'm going to hand the that information over to you because you're smarter than I am in there.
Okay. Sure. Well, and that's what's nice. Is our team approach, you know, to healthcare in our practice and in the structure function model. It makes my job so much easier and the patients when you've aligned, you know, the bones. Everything's in alignment and then things just go so much easier at that point. And so then it then I will show patients stretches and exercise and strengthening stretches and muscle balancing exercises. But for both the wrist and the elbow problems, stretching is very important. And one of the first stretches I teach, especially for the cubital tunnel, you know, that the funny bone feeling, is called an ulnar nerve stretch because that's the nerve that people say I feel tingling all the way down to my fingers. And it's usually the fourth and fifth fingers that the ulnar nerve feeds. And so I have them start with their elbow bent with their palm up and their fingertips pointed towards their shoulder, okay? And then they grab the pinky finger and the ring finger and extend them back and pull inward with the other hand. And there should be no pain on any of these stretches with them, and they hold that for 30 seconds. I like to, instead of having the patients count, is do four deep breaths because people tend to stop breathing when they're stretching or exercising.
Oh, smart.
Yeah, so instead of doing the counting, I want them to do four deep diaphragmatic breaths.
Sure.
In that stretch. So that's one of the first stretches I teach is the ulnar nerve stretch. And then, you know, if they have any pain on that, there's, you know, we don't believe in no pain, no gain here, really.
Sure.
Pain
sure.
is an indicator that something else is going on. And then one thing that's really important, especially with nerves that are involved, is we call it nerve flossing. So you know how you floss your teeth?
Sure.
You want to floss those nerves also. And another exercise stretching I have them do is called tension and flossing. And you're standing with your arm extended perpendicular to your torso with your palm up. You grab the pinky and ring finger again of the extended arm and gently pull. And then so you have your arm extended.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're doing that, then you're slowly lowering your chin to your chest. You're holding for four deep breaths, and then you're raising your chin and slowly and gently lift the chin and hold it backwards into extension for four deep breaths. And that's where the flossing comes in with the neck movement. Because people, that whole movement or that whole nerve is being affected down from the neck all the way to the hand. So this is called tension and flossing, and that's a real good exercise. And I hope you can visualize these. They're very helpful.
Yeah.
And one of the ones that's really fun to do for the ulnar nerve stretch is, you remember the song Junior Birdsman? Up, up, and away, Junior Birdsman. No? Okay. I thought you went to camp. But
I did, but we didn't sing that one.
You're not a lot of help here.
I'm sorry. I wanted to be honest.
I'm much better at asking the questions than you are, by the way. So it's called the mask. Uh-huh. And so this is really hard to describe, but you take your index and your pointer fingers.
Oh, that's a good stretch.
Great stretch.
Yeah.
So you're taking your index, which is your pointer finger, and touching it to your thumb, like you're making a circle,
right,
while holding the other three fingers in the air, like an OK sign. So make an OK sign, right, and you bring your hand towards your face, leading with your pinky finger, like you're going to place it over the eye, like a mask. Now, you might not be able to place it completely over your eye, but just be sure you feel a gentle stretch. And some people can't even do this, adults, because they're so tight. So it's you're making that okay sign. Okay, you're doing good, Doc.
I'm doing good. Huge forearms.
But so you look like Junior Birdsman.
That is a great, I can really feel that stretch right in through there,
yeah,
especially that ulnar nerve.
And I work on that, and you know, I have a lot of adults doing that. I said, do it with your children. I mean, it's a great thing. Children are on the keyboard.
Oh, it looks like so much fun, yeah.
Uh-huh. And it's a great stretch for that. And then another one that's more advanced is the palm over the ear, kind of like a server will hold a tray, but you start with your arm at your side, place palm facing down toward the floor, then fingers facing away from your body, and then your elbow starts straight, then slowly bend the elbow and raise the arm, bringing the tips of your fingers towards your head, and then slowly bend the elbow until you feel a stretch along the back of your arm, forearm, wrist, palm, and into the ring and pinky fingers, and then you hold that stretch palm over the ear, and that's a really...
Yeah, I just gave that a try, too. Feels really good.
Uh-huh, and the stretching is so important. But what I find helpful, especially for wrist strengthening, is filling a bucket with rice, and then just moving your wrist in that rice. The resistance, I actually learned this when my son played football. When he was on offensive line, they did it with a lot of the linemen that had weak wrists. But I do this with a lot of my patients, or have them find marbles in the rice bucket, and really moving that wrist around will strengthen that. But strengthening is very important. As long as there's no pain, even getting the small barbells and doing wrist and flexion and extension exercises and rotation. So we see great results in rehab, especially when everything's lined up. And that combination really helps people, to stay strong and stay in alignment and not have those problems again. All right. When we come back, let's talk about prevention and how we can work on prevention for the wrist and elbow.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of Meridian Health and Wellness.
Dr. Prather, there is a device you use at your office called the Electrodermal Screening, or EDS. Tell us a little bit about it and why you call it the lie detector for the body.
Well, the Electrodermal Screening Unit is a galvanic skin response unit, and it actually falls under the same category as a lie detector test or biofeedback. So it is actually, we can actually rig our electrodermal screening to actually do lie detector. But it is also a good term on that is a lie detector for the body. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're actually, you know a whole list of different types of products that could possibly work in each type of situation. But everybody knows that not everybody responds well to penicillin. Mm-hmm. You know, some people actually have some very negative reactions to it, matter even to death. Some people, it's a lifesaver. Well, that's true of everything. And what the electrodermal screening does is it actually gives you a predetermination on how you're actually going to respond to any type of thing that we might prescribe to you before you actually take it, which is extremely helpful. Now, it's not a diagnostic tool. You know, it is not classified as a diagnostic tool. But as we've gotten the approval from the federal government on the use of it, we use it purely as a means of checking to see the body's response before you would actually take something.
Okay.
So it's a response machine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have to have knowledge beforehand on what products will actually work with each type of condition.
Right.
So we're very dependent upon our lab tests and the gold standard types of diagnostic tests. But then once you've determined that, what do you do with that? Because in our instrument, we have actually 80,000 different products that we can check on.
Wow.
So with that, we can actually find out what's going to work the best for you and how you're going to respond on things before you actually take them.
And what about its effectiveness?
Through clinical studies, they have found that it's 80% accurate, over 80% accurate, which, you know, mm-hmm. was what actually attracted me to it. Because there's not too many things that you can actually have that kind of results with.
Right, right. And this electrodermal screening eliminates some of the guessing.
The guesswork is the biggest thing that we're trying to get rid of.
Okay, well, schedule your electrodermal screening by scheduling an appointment at Meridian Health and Wellness, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Meridian Health and Wellness, restoring hope. I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of Meridian Health and Wellness. Well, we're talking today about the common problems of the wrist and elbow, and that falls under the repetitive strain injuries. And let's talk, Dr. Prather, in this last segment about prevention of wrist and elbow problems.
Well, one thing I first off want to say is just how excellent of a job you do on rehab.
Oh, thank you.
I had one patient just this week sit there and say she had had actually some surgery done, you know, and then she had gone to a physical therapist and she said she went three times and each time she crawled out.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I don't want to do rehab. And I said, now this is completely different. They're going to be doing it, and she had a session with you. Mm-hmm. And she says, I feel so much better after having the rehab, and I don't hurt at all, but, you know, my problem feels better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that I've found so often, that what you do is extremely effective, but really doesn't cause the pain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people are surprised how little, you know, types of things can make such a huge difference.
Well, when you give them the right exercise, you know, for the problem, and that's, you know, we work as a team. I'm able to go in there when you're working on with the patient and, you know, collaborate with you, collaborate with our nurse practitioner, you know, work together for the benefit of the patient.
Right.
It's neat to see the results. It's very exciting.
It is. It is. And, you know, but I just want to, you know, just say how much better people do it, you know, underneath your care, and just how you approach it is non-harmful and has such amazing results, and I hear it from the patients all the time.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, let's talk about these conditions. You know, how preventable are these conditions?
Well, one of the things is it's usually the reason that they get into this problem is things are out of balance. You know, and you were doing all those descriptions.
Yeah.
And what people couldn't see is I was doing
the exercise.
I was really helping you out with the whole radio program.
Right.
And, you know, as you're describing it, I'm doing the exercises and it, you know what? It felt really good.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing because I'm working with my hands all the time.
Mm-hmm. You're in your forearms.
And my forearms. Uh-huh. And one of the most common reasons that, I just had a chiropractic friend, actually a relative of mine, had to quit practice recently because of wrist and elbow problems. He couldn't do the chiropractic anymore. Mm-hmm. And if he had been doing these exercises, mm-hmm. He probably still could have continued. And oftentimes it's an imbalance. You know, and these exercises are things that would be extremely helpful before, you know, you actually get into a whole problem.
Right. Right.
And we just don't realize how much is involved with that. And I feel kind of tingly and good all in my arms right now. So I think it was a little tight.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And you have, just because of doing the chiropractic adjustments for so many years, mm-hmm. you have huge forearms, by
yeah.
the way.
We'll talk later.
And those need to be stretched.
Sure.
Yeah. And you know, one nice thing is we do not have desk jobs. You know, we're up, mm-hmm. we're moving throughout the day.
Yeah.
But people with the desk jobs have to be really careful. You know, and positioning is very important. Making sure that if you're at a desktop, that your forearms are resting mm-hmm. As you're mm-hmm. working on the keyboard, that your wrists are in a neutral position.
Sure.
Because the, you know, too much extension for long periods of time or is not good. Also, and this was where obesity plays a role. I mean, when you, you know, the further away from the body that you perform an activity, the more tension that's placed on the tendons, you know, at the elbow. So, real important. But for positioning, avoid sleeping with the elbow bent more than 90 degrees to reduce the amount of stress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't sleep with the hands placed behind the head. Avoid sleeping on your stomach. A lot of people sleep on their stomach and have their head resting on their arm, their bent arm all night.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I hear that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they went to sleep, and I asked them, you know, woke up with a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, you know, how do you sleep? And they show me, and it's like, well, no wonder.
Yeah. Right. Right. And sleeping on the stomach is just a terrible position for the neck also and causes degeneration of the neck. Use soft pillows under the arms. You know, make sure I tell people if you sleep on your side, have a big pillow you're hugging. You know, you have your arm around, so your arm's not in a strong flex position all night.
Sure.
And then, you know, people that are getting that tingling, you can get a sleeve pad that protects the elbow, like an elbow protector or heel bowl.
Absolutely.
I had some people that had to drive long distances and just resting their arm, mm-hmm. and with that vibration of the car and the truck. That really helped them. And then with computers, you know, position the keyboard so that your elbows are open more than 90 degrees. And don't lean on the elbows, have them supported. But avoid repetitive elbow bending and straightening and excessive wrist movement. You know, move the mouse from the shoulder, not the wrist. So, and keep it close, you know, your arms close to your body. Very important, these stretches that I talked about, do them often and take frequent micro breaks. You know,
sure.
Get up from the computer every hour.
Yeah, and people who are doing sports, you know, especially tennis, golf, mm-hmm. baseball, those types of things, making sure that the wrist and the elbows are stretched, balanced, having that evaluated and getting some good programs along those lines. Make sure that your form's correct.
Right, right.
You know, and all those types of things, that you're doing things properly and that you don't have underlying problems. And if you are doing repetitive elbow and wrist issues, then actually trying to have different types of programs along there that you can do the stretches, the strengthening, and actually looking at it in that type of a way is extremely, extremely helpful for prevention. So if you are a golfer, a tennis player, a baseball player, any of those types of things, then actually getting your elbow and your wrist evaluated would be extremely helpful.
Yes, and I know, you know, back to the desk thing, I've recommended standing desk a lot for the patients.
Oh, yeah. We've had some good results
and
with that.
Great results, you know, for a lot of different problems. And one that you might want to check out is called the Varidesk. It's V-A-R-I-D-E-S-K. It's pretty reasonable, and you can use it both in a sitting position and a standing position.
Sounds great. Good ideas.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Prather, as always. We're out of time.
Thank you, Lisa.
Meridian Health and Wellness is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. For the Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.